We got breaking news. The feds charge New Jersey Congress member with assault.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo for today. Will Haynes is joining us. Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem is going to be with us later. And it's time for you to call in as well at 1-800-684-3110. If you're just tuning in, you may have seen the headline. And Will, I think we need to go over this because this is a big moment. And a really interesting one. We know that there was this sort of photo op stunt that occurred. And now it feels like the stunt has even gone a little further.
That's right. So we remember that there was a group of Democrat congressmen and women, as well as the mayor of Newark, New Jersey, who tried to go into this ICE detention facility that is there. And the members of Congress tried to say this is an oversight meeting. However,
they better not do anything.
If they really were trying to conduct oversight, there's a way to do that. You can make an appointment, go and conduct oversight. They were trying a political stunt. They wanted to show that they were strong and that they were going to force their way through the gates and get into this facility and find out what's going on there. And there turned out to be sort of a scuffle. The mayor of Newark was originally arrested and charged with trespassing on a federal facility. Those charges have been dropped. But the U.S. attorney out of New Jersey has now charged a New Jersey congresswoman, Representative LaMonica McIver, with assault and also with impeding the job of a federal officer, all stemming from this incident. And this also is in result of they tried to make a plea deal with her. They said, listen, we can just let this go away. We can just say, basically, take responsibility that you can't violate the law, force your way in, and put hands on a federal officer.
And for a photo op.
Right.
Take responsibility for we know this was a stunt. You know this was a stunt. Let's just move on with our day. Not saying that's necessarily the right thing to do, by the way, but that's what you're dealing with in New Jersey. However, that is not what happened. She said, no, this is the moment to make a name for yourself.
That's right. And she has rejected this plea deal, and she has now been charged by the U.S. attorney out of New Jersey with assault. She assaulted, impeded, and interfered with a law enforcement officer in violation of Title 18 U.S. Code Section 111A1. And we'll get into more of what that means in the next segment. But this also pushes back on what Hakeem Jeffries, the leader of the Democrats in the House, and AOC were putting out there. They said, if you lay a finger on a member of Congress, that's out of bounds. And Hakeem Jeffries said it was a red line. Now the ball is in their court as one of their own, a member of Congress from the Democrat side, has been charged for this photo op.
That's right. I'm going to take your phone calls, by the way, if you want to call in the next segment. Let's hear from you. What do you think about this? And then we have in the third segment, I want to just tease it out a little bit, a really brand new ACLJ case you're not going to want to miss. This is classic ACLJ that's happening, stuff that's still happening in our schools that you think should be settled. Of course, a lot of it is settled law. However, we still have to protect students when they need us, and we need to be there for them. And of course, that is because people like you support the ACLJ. All the outrageous attacks that come upon your faith and your religious liberties, whether that is in your school system, whether that's in this country, and of course, the very extreme and very persecution-based attacks on Christianity that happen outside of America. We're there for all of them. I encourage you to become an ACLJ supporter today. Whether you can give a one-time donation or become a champion, that's someone who gives on a monthly recurring basis. I'm going to encourage you to do that. Whether that's $5 a month or $500 a month, we could use it. We could help. All you got to do is scan that QR code you see on the screen right now or go to ACLJ.org. Once again, that's at ACLJ.org. But I do want to take your calls in the next segment. What do you think about this new moment for the New Jersey Congresswoman? Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. Sekula. We do have some phone lines open for you, and I'd like to hear from you within this segment. So if you could give me a call, I'd appreciate it. Because in the next segment, we're going to talk about a new ACLJ story that I think you're not going to want to miss. And if you have been following the work of the ACLJ for the last 35 plus years, and even the pre-ACLJ days, this will be a little bit reminiscent of that. And of course, our team is taking action right now. But that's just a little bit of tease. We'll talk about it in the next segment. Let's go ahead and take a phone call right off the bat, though. Let's go to Peter in Arizona. Peter, you're on the air watching on YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube, by the way, and you're brand new or you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button. Over 484,000 of you have, and we know we appreciate each and every one of you. Peter, you're on the air. Peter, you there? All right, we'll go back to him in a second. Doesn't sound like the phone line went active, so I just want to take a listen to that. Will, let's restate what happened before we get to one of our phone calls, because I think a lot of people are just joining us right now as they see the news plea deal rejected by Democrat Congresswoman. The feds charge a New Jersey congresswoman with assault. What happened here? What led us to this moment?
That's right. So if you'll remember, just a brief few days ago, a couple weeks back, these individuals, it was three members of Congress, as well as the mayor of Newark, went to this ICE detention facility, and what they were saying was an oversight visit. They were trying to show up unannounced, do oversight, congressional oversight of the executive branch at this ICE detention facility. And the administration obviously said there are ways to do this. They are making a show of this. They were not letting them in, and there was a scuffle that broke out. And this is after they'd been in and out of the gates a couple times, but it escalated. And there was video of this member of Congress kind of throwing her elbows, putting hands on the law enforcement officers, and the U.S. attorney out of New Jersey, the District of New Jersey, has now charged Representative LaMonica McIver, who is from New Jersey, under Title 18 U.S. Code Section 111A1, because she assaulted, impeded, and interfered with law enforcement in violation of that section of the U.S. Code. They had offered this member of Congress a plea deal.
Yeah, they saw it as the stunt that we all know that it was and said, okay, you know, say you're sorry, essentially.
And she rejected that. Because also what you're learning about this is from all these stunts, this wasn't a peaceful oversight thing. This was political theater, much like the time that AOC went down to the border and fake cried.
Yeah, it's
trying We've to all beca- seen it.
It's trying to become a household name. It's making yourself into a star. And we'll see if that works out for her.
But you also know that the Democrats may be thinking, there's some political capital in being charged by the Trump DOJ, because we saw what happened to President Trump when he was charged by the Biden DOJ, state AGs,
bigger than ever.
Everything. He goes on to win in a landslide in November. So you have to think some of that's in the back of the Democrats' minds, like, oh, maybe I can go, get into some trouble and then not take a plea deal and then get charged with something. But this also has a lot of parallels with what happened with that judge in Wisconsin, where the judge took the law into her own hands. And instead of acting as an arbiter of the law, an impartial judge, she decided to take the law into her own hands and shield an illegal migrant from arrest, from ICE. They had a warrant. And what happened? The DOJ charged her. And the Democrats say, you're authoritarian. You're breaking the rule of law. This is a constitutional crisis. No, what they're doing is saying, hey, you can disagree. You can protest. You can try to get legislation through. You can try to do everything within the rule of law. But you can't cause chaos and you can't set a bad example for those of you that follow you that could do things much, much worse.
Yeah, let's take some calls about that. I want to go to George, who's calling in Alaska, who is watching on the Salem News Channel, which we're available live 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. George, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hi, guys. Thank you for being there. My primary issue is I don't like the way these politicians are behaving. And for African Americans that have survived slavery and true racism and all the other problems that we overcame to serve this country, protect this country, I don't like them making us look like we're idiots by defending criminals. MS-13 and these other groups are hardcore criminals. It would be like everybody fighting to rescue the mafia or something. It's wrong. And I don't like the way they make my people look.
George, I appreciate you calling in. I think this has been an ongoing issue with politicians, and honestly, specifically with the left, which is to be the party that is the, against racism that they actually end up becoming racist themselves in the way they talk down to people, the way they marginalize people, the way they assume you're going to vote one way or the other. That always has rubbed me the wrong way, and I think it's rubbed the American people the wrong way. I think that's why you saw such a large turnout in different communities, lots of different communities that traditionally did vote Democrat this last time, because people like you, George, are really sick of being told how you're supposed to believe and sick of being talked down to, and you end up in these kind of situations where, of course, there are these moments where they're going, we're going to break into a jail and we're going to, you know, do all of this because of what's happening. And it's simply not the mainstream feeling of the American people.
Well, you also have to remember what party operatives and members of Congress have been saying about the immigration issue this whole time. It's not something of like, let's bring people in and help better lives and live the American dream. You've seen everywhere from CNN to MSNBC to the halls of Congress to in hearings, members of the Democrat Party say things that are very racist at their core.
At the core,
things like, I can't wait to see, you know, middle class women get upset because the price of their smoothies went up because the migrants aren't here to pick the fruit for them. And even members of Congress that are making very direct, overt racial statements about that they need the migrants here to do the farm work because they aren't going back to that. That was from Jasmine Crockett. And this is not okay. This is not America. They are trying to say that they're doing oversight of this authoritarian Trump administration, but the language that's coming out of the Democrat Party is shocking at the overt racism of what they have towards migrants. They're not doing this for some let people have a better life, get away, flee from persecution. They are saying it's an economic situation, and we need to make our lives better by having people in a lower station than us. That's class warfare.
I want to hear also this bite from Eric Swalwell. He was talking, you know, obviously another person who you think would be trying to make this into a political stunt photo shoot kind of moment, and he does. And let's take a listen to what he said when confronted about this.
So we have to do our oversight duties, and she was in the right to go and do that. And I promise you, there's going to be more unnoticed visits by my colleagues where they show up and they better be let in.
I don't know if he meant unnoticed.
I think he meant unannounced.
Yeah, unannounced, but
I know what he's certainly saying. Wasn't unnoticed. We've all seen.
We all seen it. But yes, unannounced visits. They'd be doing these surprise drop-ins. Though, as you said, Will, there is a proper way to do this. They do have the right to do this. They do have the right to go take a look at it. No problem with that at all. They just decided to make this into a scene.
You know what probably should happen if you're doing an oversight mission to a executive branch thing? It should be unnoticed. I think he actually messed up with what he was trying to say, but said the right thing. This shouldn't be a stunt. It shouldn't be a press conference. If you're going to conduct oversight, then go and conduct oversight and don't cause a scene. Don't get in a scuffle. And you know what? If they don't let you in, go back and raise it up. Get leadership involved and make an issue out of it that way instead of trying to take the law into your own hands and cause these issues. You know what that means? You're going to get charged with something if you put your hands on a federal law enforcement officer.
Let's take Joe in Tennessee before we head to the next segment. Joe, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Joe out of Nashville, Tennessee. I'm calling about a lady that was bullying through the police eyes.
Yes, officer. Yep.
And, I think she needs to be charged to the fullest extent for assault. And not only just one assault charge, but everyone that she touched should be charged that many times. She was acting like a bully is what she was acting like. And just because she's a lady of color, gives her no more right than anybody else?
Well, Joe, I don't even think it's that. I don't think that's really playing into it. I think it's that this is a political stunt. This is a stunt from a member of Congress who decided to become a celebrity and to try to make a name for himself. It's actually very hard. There's so many members of Congress and so many senators. It's actually hard to be one of the handful that most people know. You know, the breakout congressmen and congresswomen are pretty low. The amount that you see on TV, you see about the same dozen every day.
Right.
So again, she had a moment to try to make herself into a star. It may be working, by the way. So you know what? I guess good for her PR team. But yeah, of course, if you decided not to take this plea deal because you want to keep yourself in the news, you want to keep it going, well, I'm sure there will be plenty of people who are willing to do that. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. When we get back, we're going to talk about the important work of the ACLJ in a brand new case you're not going to want to miss. Again, it feels a bit old school, but we're still at it fighting for students' rights. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Welcome back to Seculo. We're going to continue that conversation, by the way, in the next segment. So if you still have questions or comments about that congressperson, feel free to call in. We went through all our phone lines, so now we got a full bank open at 1-800-684-3110. That's once again 1-800-684-3110. I want to turn our attention to a fifth grader. That's right, a fifth grader, special needs, is a student, had some Bible verses that they wanted to share, you know, at their school. And of course, in a traditional ACLJ kind of way, we have to get involved because, again, this fifth grader, special needs, essentially was told, you are banned from doing this in your school. And as we have learned over the years, and we've advocated over the years, and we have won over the years, this is not constitutional. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to tell a fifth grader, a student, where their limit of free speech is. Of course, there are some rules that may can be in when it comes to obscenities and those kind of things that cannot be distributed. But we filed a demand letter. We said we got to take care of this. And if it doesn't, if they don't respond to our deadline, the school district here, well, we're going to court.
That's right. And this child was trying to share hope, has a very deeply held beliefs and a deep personal faith, and was sharing Bible verses with fellow students. And the district, the administrator, as well as the teacher, then were giving conflicting messages.
Yeah, they
were all confiscated, then given back, and then said maybe during this time. But then finally, the principal told the student and the student's mother, and this child, not only does she have special needs, she is with her guardian and mother that she came to be with her through the foster program. So she has overcome a lot and mm-hmm. and was just sharing hope with her fellow students. But after this back and forth, which is already confusing and trying to get what is allowed and what's not allowed, they were told by the principal that the independent school district policy prohibits all distribution of religious material on school property at any time. Constitutional violation number one. And then, despite repeated requests from the parent to ask which policy, I need to see this policy, I don't believe that that's constitutional, then is given a vague policy that says non-school materials from students requires pre-approval from the principal before any non-school material can be distributed. And that's standard constitutional violation number two. That conflicts with the First Amendment rights. It not only does it violate the Supreme Court precedent from Tinker versus Des Moines Independent School District, but that's the famous one that your rights are not shed at the schoolhouse gate, but it also violates the Establishment Clause, because if they're saying all religious materials are banned because of that pre-approval, that is then saying that the government, which is the school administration at this point, gets to decide which speech is allowed on campus at what time.
I also want you to know about how misleading they were to this student. Of course, they have a 12-year-old student. 12-year-old student with special needs. And by the way, this happened on May 12th. Okay, it's May 20th right now. You're hearing about this a week after this initially happened. That's how quick the ACLJ team gets into action. When I say you submit something on the website and form, you get attached to a lawyer, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, it's already developed far enough for us to talk about it on the air. May 12th, a student brought the Bible verse strips, little strips, to her elementary school and even offered one to the principal. That's right, the principal that ended up banning this. That principal confiscated all of the verses, and while confiscating the verses, the way they did it, they didn't say, here, let me take all your verses from you. And tried to be rude. What he said was, oh, we're going to distribute these to other kids that are having a bad day. So just lied to this student. Nevertheless, they confiscated it, did not do it, did not hand out these verses, and refused to return them the next day. Again, emotional manipulation, First Amendment violations, so many things going wrong in this situation. And you know what? A lot of times it's scared people in the school systems. They don't know what their rules are. They don't know what the law is. And we have to wake them up, slap them around a little bit in the face and say, wake up. You need to know what's going on, and you need to know the actual rules, the actual laws. And if they don't respond to that, and they don't reverse action for this 12-year-old, we're going to court, and they'll be sued. And we have the best of the best. And why do we have the best of the best? Because people like you support the work of the ACLJ. Because if you didn't, I don't know the personal financial things of this, but this is a girl, a 12-year-old special needs student who ends up in foster care with a deep faith, who's hanging on to Jesus, who just wants to spread a little bit of love around campus, spread a little bit of hope around school. Instead, they mislead her. I would say they emotionally abuse her. And they take it from, oh, we're just going to, we'll take these from you. We'll distribute them. They lie to her. And then they confiscate them and won't even give them back. So what are we going to do about it? Well, thankfully, there are organizations like ours that say at no cost to that student, no cost to that family, the foster family that is now raising this child, the guardian family, no cost to them. The only way it can be no cost to them and also available to them and have the best of the best, as I've said, and it usually is the best of the best. We had some big wins today, is because people give financially, because people know that these who need it, and maybe that will be you one day. And all you have to do is go to aclj.org and make your donation. And if you have, by the way, legal needs that are within our scope, stuff like this, all you got to do is go to aclj.org/help, because it's outrageous that this is still happening in 2025.
And here's two items that I want to also point out. One, they have until Thursday to respond. Not a lot of time. Basically, in that response needs to say, you're right, this policy we need to get rid of, we need to change because we are violating the constitutional rights of our students. That's, I think, probably the only acceptable answer that we'll take. And if not, lawsuit, federal court. And a lot of people in the chat have been asking, where is this school? And a lot of you, your mind may be thinking, this has got to be California, got to be Oregon. A lot of you watch from Washington State, got to be the Pacific Northwest, right? Texas. Yeah. And not Austin, Texas. This is in between Austin and Waco, more rural area. So this is not where you expect this to
be. That's
why we have to be so vigilant.
And that's why sometimes you can send a demand and say, you got to fix this. And they do. Because sometimes these school districts truly don't know what their laws are. They hear the words separation of church and state. They hear those things. They've heard them their whole lives because they've grown up in the public school system or something like that. And they assume they know what it means when they really don't. So you know what? You give them a couple days. We'll give them 2 days. Fix this problem. Now, some people have asked specifically, look, I mean, we want to protect the privacy of this student for now until they're ready to talk. And if they are ready to talk at some point, of course, we would have the family, because we are representing the parents and the girl. We're doing that right now. And again, this is the incredible work of the ACLJ. We'll talk about the breaking news items that you'll hear. And I think that's always good to cover. I know you want to hear it. I want to talk about it. And a lot of times it plays into everything that's going on. I mean, this is kind of right in the pocket of what's going on in the world. But we are representing the student and her mother, and we sent that demand to the school district in Texas, demanding they respect this student's First Amendment rights. And look, I think there's a lot more that we can do also if it decides to go to lawsuit, because the emotional damage they've done to this person, It's really unfortunate, but we're not going to stand for it. Go to ACLJ.org. We got a second half hour coming up. Make sure you're joining us. It's on ACLJ.org, YouTube, Rumble, or however you get your podcasts.
Keeping you informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. If you missed the last half hour of the broadcast, I encourage you to go back and specifically watch the last segment we did, because that segment was about a brand new ACLJ issue that we are taking on. It's a kid with special needs, 12-year-old, wanted to distribute or was distributing a little just, you know, cut out sheets of Bible verses to her friends. She's deep faith. Again, special needs student. It's been the foster system. Was told not only that she couldn't do it, they were confiscated. She was lied to and told that, oh, yeah, we'll take these. The principal took them, said, we'll take them. We'll distribute it to anyone who's having a bad day. Lied to. And then when it was finally found out that they were not being distributed, would not return them. I'm sure they were probably disposed of or something like that. I'm not sure, but that's what it feels like. And this happened a week ago. And the ACLJ team is taking action right now. And I want you to be part of that with us. So go to ACLJ.org. If you give right now, I'll know that it is because you want to support things like this that the ACLJ has been doing for 30 plus years, 35 plus years, 40 years, nearly if you include pre-ACLJ work that my family has been doing. You can be a part of that journey as well. But I'll know if it came in during their broadcast, that's because you care about these kind of issues. Because sometimes it's hard when there are so much breaking news happening in the States and around the world. It's hard to kind of see through this. This isn't going to be your number one story you see on TV. But it doesn't mean it's any less important. And of course, we're going to cover the news. We're going to cover what we're talking about. And that's what we're doing here today. And a lot of you have called in because we are talking about the plea deal that was rejected by that Democratic congresswoman who stormed the facilities, if you will, and caused a ruckus, but really was doing a photo op, was doing a show, so much so that when they offered the plea deal, pretty much saying, hey, we're not going to prosecute you, just say you're sorry. She said, no, I'll take the charges. And that's what's happening right now. And taking the charges, because as you said, well, maybe they learned something from President Trump, which is that is how you get your base fired up if you feel like you're getting politically prosecuted or persecuted by your own government.
That's right. And a violation of 18 U.S. Code Section 111 for assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers or employees. I mean, this can carry, depending on the way it's charged, what they allege, but can carry not more than 8 years in prison and a fine. So do I think a sitting member of Congress, they're going to try to go for the maximum?
No.
I don't know. Also, you never know with this this administration. But what the key here is that there's bad behavior by those on the left when it relates to this immigration issue. And instead of trying to have constructive dialogue or even doing their oversight job in an organized, orderly manner, they're instead resulting to stunts, subversion of law. You think of the judges, the one that had a member of Tren de Aragua living with him, and then the judge in Wisconsin trying to help a illegal migrant who was before her court on assault charges, helping him escape and evade arrest from federal immigration and officials. And then you have this where scuffles are breaking out in front of these detention facilities because of the way they're conducting their quote unquote oversight. What oversight do they want to see? What was she? I want to know that from this member of Congress. If the oversight was, I want to go and just see, I don't even know if that's direct oversight. If she wants to see the conditions and things of that nature, wants to write a report, wants to go before a committee. But reality, I don't even know that she knows what oversight she was looking for, because what she got was the attention. And that, I think, is what these members of Congress were actually looking for here.
Yeah, hey, phone lines right now are completely jammed. We will try to get to some more. Some may open up at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold, Susan, Richie, Mary, Randolph, Michael, stay on hold. I'm going to get to you. In the next segment, though, we're going to head over to ACLJ Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban, because we have some news out of Israel and also an unbelievable interview that was done with one of the current heads of Hamas that, again, I'm not going to say you couldn't believe it, because of course you can believe it, but saying all the things that you and I have been saying for years, but now it's coming out of their own mouths. And of course, you know what they're thrilled about the most? College students in America. That's coming from Hamas. We're going to talk about that with Jeff Balaban coming up. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ, great time to do it. We had another big victory. We'll talk about that also coming up in the next segment. Welcome back to Secula. We are going to talk to Jeff Balaban at ACLJ Jerusalem, but I think we need to set this up so you understand what we're talking about here, because there have been a lot of movements, obviously, in Israel in the battle with Hamas. And again, you had Bibi Netanyahu saying, okay, this is it. We're going to start the kind of the final stages of the takeover of Gaza. There have been a lot of outcry from that, from the left, obviously from the students on campuses. But this came across my feed yesterday, late last night, and I wanted you to take a look at it. This is from a broadcast or a podcast coming out of Libya.
That's right.
And is with one of the current heads of Hamas.
That's right. This is a senior leader in Hamas, serves in a spokesperson role in many ways. But this was on Libyan TV, and they're having a very open conversation
very professionally done. You should take a listen to the words that they're saying, because not only does it prove the points we've been trying to make for years, it's actually them saying what we knew they were going to say. So not only does it discuss what's going on in America on our college campuses, it also talks about, you know, when there's a lot of outcry, and I understand when you get upset, when you see the images of children starving or of babies that have been killed in this incursion that this has happened in this war. You know who doesn't seem to really care? The people in Hamas. And we've been saying that for years, but now they're saying it even. Saying, you know what? We'll replace those babies. We already have replaced those babies. We've already replaced those children. God's going to do that for us. So you know what? Some death, no big deal. Let's take a listen.
Who could have imagined that students in America at universities from which the politicians graduate would protest against their leaders and against Zionist occupation and say that Palestine must be liberated from the river to the sea? Not just the 1967 borders, like most of our Arab leaders say.
They oppose the Zionist enterprise in its entirety.
Right, this is a dream come true. Today, the number of Muslims is multiplying because of what is happening in Gaza. Today, Gaza is giving a new interpretation to the Holy Quran. People used to read the verses, but perhaps did not understand what they meant. Now, when they see what is happening in Gaza, they understand the meaning of many of these verses because of many details that are evident every day in Gaza. So, what is happening in Gaza is not about 100 destroyed houses or 1,000 martyrs. The story is much bigger. Gaza today has taught a lesson not just to the occupation, but to the Islamic nation and the world. The implications, fruits, and outcome are extensive. We will rebuild the houses and will produce dozens more babies for each martyr. They are the price we need to pay.
Yeah, so then, Jeff, I have to turn to you. Again, leaning off on that is talking about how great these American college campuses are, that we're seeing Islam be spread. But not only that, the radicalization, the conversation about from the river to the sea. And they actually celebrate the American students on campuses while throwing their own brothers, if you will, under the table, saying, you know what? Those American students are stronger than most of our Arab leaders who say the 67 borders. They're saying from the river to the sea. Jeff, you there?
Yes, I'm here. So, look, this entire speech, this entire monologue by him is very important for Americans to understand, and I'm so glad that we're bringing it out to this audience, because it goes, not only does it demonstrate what you just pointed out, that their work is to cause the West to embrace the idea of a true genocide of the Jewish state, and indeed the Jewish people, because their charter calls for the eradication of every Jew on earth. They've also expanded it to say they want to change our culture. This is a holy war. And in their holy war, they have declared over and over again, they will win because they love death more than we love life. They love death more than Jews love life. They love death more than Christians, more than Israel, more than America. And so the truth is they celebrate this. And they're saying this all along. They're the ones who want as many civilian deaths as possible. And so the world has been doing their job. UNRWA has been raising them, by the way. That's another thing. American tax dollars go to the UN. UNRWA raises a generation to believe that this is the goal of life, to have children in order to use those children as human bombs to destroy Israel and destroy the Jews and ultimately America and the West.
Yeah, I think it's on Front Street. You're seeing it right now. I mean, I've heard them talk similarly, but maybe not this direct, where you go, it doesn't matter the children that are killed. We're just going to replace them. And God's already replacing them. So you know what? Small price to pay. So when everyone has this big outcry and they are upset of what's going on and they're blaming Israel for all of this, they have to hear from their own leaders. Now, of course, people will say, hey, we're not saying Hamas is good. We've never said that. Well, clearly, the leadership of Hamas thinks that's what you're saying. They think that's what you're saying, American students.
Just American students. They think that what you're saying, you guys in Congress and in the Senate who've been saying this. Or when the President of the United States, the former President of the United States, gets up and says that the result of October 7th and this massacre of Jews is that we must give these animals a state, when what they've declared is that they want to genocide every Jew, and that they're proud of it, and they're happy when Arabs and Muslims are killed in that cause, and it's no problem, we'll just replace and have more and more and use them to kill. This is exactly what's being supported. It's insane to suggest that people like this could ever have a state. It's insane to suggest that they can live in peace and harmony. The entire structure of Palestinian ideology is predicated on genocide. And there is no coexistence with this ideology. And yes, it's a very good catch that this was translated and brought out to the public, because this is not private. This is how they talk amongst themselves. This is the entire culture. And unfortunately, our tax dollars have been raising a generation, or now the third generation, to believe exactly this. They exist as martyrs.
And Jeff, we only have a couple minutes left here in this segment, but as we look at this also, one, it's so brazen, and it's really hard to watch how casually and blasé these things are said, and that, you know, that's the price we have to pay. What's a building? What's another person dying? We'll have more babies. We'll build another building. The fact that they have the world so duped and tricked that those that are fine with a genocide are actually the death cult leaders of Hamas. And if it takes a genocide of their people, they are the ones responsible for that, because that is what their goal is. Their goal is to continue more death of Palestinian lives until those leaders of Hamas can take over and eradicate Israel. They do not care about a nation of their Palestinian people. They care about them conquering and eliminating the Jews, and then they can repopulate. That is what we are being told from their very mouths, and everyone in America needs to hear that. And that's exactly one of the reasons you're in D.C. today in meetings.
That's correct. I'm here in meetings in D.C., briefing some people on Capitol Hill and also some think tanks about this exact problem. There's a complete lack of understanding of what the other side wants. They want a civilizational war. They are happy to die for it. They're happy to kill for it. And I'll be honest, the only people in the world who seem to really care about the actual lives of the Arabs in Gaza is Israel. And the world is condemning them, but they're trying to do everything they can to save lives. Meantime, the other side, not just Hamas, but all these organizations, they're trying to do everything to destroy Arab lives in the service of genocide.
We got to platform this kind of content. You got to be able to see it, because when you see it, I think it opens eyes, it opens hearts, because Israel sometimes loses the PR war. We've talked about that all the time, that it seems like when the media decides that they're the enemy, and of course we had, after October 7th, you had about a week, and I remember even saying it, I think you got about a week until Israel's declared the bad guy, and that's pretty much what happened. Within a few weeks, all of a sudden it went from your top celebrities all being supportive of Israel to then either going silent or having to go the exact opposite way. And you see people like at the film festival at Cannes right now that's happening. Israel has been a top topic that has come up. And you have an Israeli woman, Quentin Tarantino's wife, wearing the tiniest of tiny yellow ribbon pins in support, getting slammed. They live in Tel Aviv. She is Israeli. Of course, they're supportive of getting the hostages free. But we got to change this narrative. And I think when you see footage like this, it's kind of undeniable. And Jeff, I know we're going to wrap this segment here in just about a minute. But I appreciate you coming on and explaining this and also sharing with the American people what's going on. And also sharing with our friends in Jerusalem, at ACLJ Jerusalem, how important it is to stand with them.
Well, look, that's I'm very happy to do this, and that's why I work with ACLJ, because the credibility we have both in Washington and in Jerusalem really is unique, and people understand the depth and expertise, not just in terms of getting the word out, but also in terms of the law and the policy. And so thank God that you brought this to light, and we'll continue to work exactly on revealing these things where it matters.
All right. Thank you, Jeff, so much for joining us. And we appreciate everyone who calls in and supports Israel as part of our team. We know that it is not the easy thing to do right now. We know it's not the popular thing to talk about. But that's why the ACLJ has been there for so long. That's why we've been in Jerusalem. That's why we've been in America, because sometimes it's not what the media thinks is popular, but a lot of times it's where the American people think we should be. Look, if you watch the Eurovision Song Contest, there's a lot of pushback against Israel. Israel ended up finishing second place and number one by a landslide in the fan votes. And again, you may not think that's big, but on a global stage, you cannot imagine the more anti-Semitic posts I saw during that. I did see someone say, you know what? Let the Palestinians have a state, let Eurovision be there, and see how everyone is treated when you get there. Because that show would not go over very well in these countries. We're going to take a couple calls coming up. 1-800-684-3110. A few calls or a few lines open right now for you. 1-800-684-3110. Let's wrap up the show with the most important voice in the room. Of course, that is you. We got a lot of people in a hold for close to half an hour. We appreciate it. Let's kick it off with Susan, who is calling in Maryland on line one, watching on YouTube. Susan, you're on the air.
Yeah. You know, I feel like Trump campaigned as an enforcer and to not tolerate lawlessness. Yet the bombing in California or pro-life facility lawlessness, Trump considers the gift from Qatar. Qatar is friends with Iran, and Iran is accused of trying to assassinate Trump. Sounds like lawlessness. Illegal encampments again at the Israeli embassy that was thrown off during the GOP convention, but it has illegally shown up again in front of the Israeli embassy again.
Okay.
Lawlessness. Scores of corpses found in Libya after clashes in Tripoli. That sounds like lawlessness. Who would do business with Libya or give them any kind of integrity?
I mean, Susan, I think there have been a lot of concerns over the Trump administration's moves in the terms of the Middle East. Now, I've always said I kind of look at the facts and I look at what we're dealing with right now. And sometimes these are negotiation tactics. I'm willing to give some benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying I agree with all of the decisions that have been made in that. And I know that there's some concerns with our friends in Israel that they're making some deals and some decisions with some interesting parties. Now we can turn back to the Abraham Accords and say, hey, look at what he was able to accomplish the last time around. Get a lot of these countries I never thought would even be recognizing Israel, celebrating Israel, having Hanukkah celebrations, saying, you know what, we welcome Israeli tourism to the UAE. We welcome Israeli tourism to Dubai, all these places that are nearby and really could use the support. And so maybe there's something to that. But look, I don't think questioning those deals is something you're not allowed to do. I don't think questioning Donald Trump is something you're not allowed to do. Of course you are.
Well, I wish that she had stayed on the line, because I actually had some questions surrounding some of the things she raised.
There was a lot there.
There's a lot there, so it's a lot to unpack. But I would just say some of the things that she described as lawlessness, I think, are foreign policy. So that I don't think you can really make that juxtaposition of lawlessness and what's going on. But yeah, you are freely allowed to criticize the administration.
Yeah.
That's what's great about America. The problem was under previous administrations, if you criticized them, they investigated you,
yeah,
or they sent FBIs into the Catholic Church. They did things like that.
They kick you off social media. Stuff like that happens. We got a lot of calls. Let's try to get to some more. Let's go to Richie in California. Richie, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? I got three quick comments.
Three, go ahead.
One, they should call Planned Parenthood Planned Hamas, because that's their intention. The other thing is, talk about religious freedom. If a girl, a woman could wear a hijab into school, that's religious. And the other thing is, why are these people that we're paying, well, people paying tax dollars flying down there for a publicity stunt?
Well, I think that's a good point. Look, Richie, politics is publicity in some ways. There's always trying to make a name for yourself. Because look, she probably has a goal that's beyond where her current stature is. You want to be a celebrity. You want to be a star. You want to be not just a politician. You want to get the full razzle-dazzle. You want to be known around the country. You want to be the next AOC. So how do you do that? You rile up AOC. You get to go make a show of yourself. You get to try to storm an ICE facility. Get arrested. Get charged. They say, hey, we're going to offer you a plea deal. You say, no, charge me. That's what I wanted. That's why I'm here.
They used to have this saying that every U.S. senator looks in the mirror and sees the president of the United States. I think that old adage is now what can be said about the Democrats in the House of Representatives. Yeah. Every Democrat in the House of Representatives looks in the mirror and sees the future president of the United States. That's why you see these publicity stunts. That's why you see these things over and over again. Because at the end of the day, they're not really concerned with governing. They're concerned with making a name for themselves and that celebrity that goes along with it.
I thought you were going to say they couldn't see anything in the reflection because they're vampires. All right.
Ooh, that's spooky.
Randolph. Which kind of feels like it ties in. Randolph in Texas, you're on the air.
Okay.
Okay, you go ahead.
Yes, my name is Randolph Brown. I'm a 67-year-old Vietnam veteran, and I'm a Christian. I try to pattern my life according to what the scriptures tell us to do. Sure. And one of the things I know that's going to happen, and it's destined to happen, it speaks of it in the Bible, is that this world is going to end. And no matter what politicians make decisions on doing, we eventually are going to go by scripture, and this world is going to die. We're living in a dying world. But the main point I want to make is that what we're doing as a country is undoing the laws that we put on the paper to do. I mean, if we have the top president of the United States defying the laws that Congress put in order and allowing people to come out of prison and just changing things, how is that an example for us to follow? So if we're going to be led, then lead by doing the things that are right and wrong. If it's wrong, why are you trying to do that? Because you're setting the example for others to do. One thing doesn't change anything from the way that we live. Unless
we're only cutting you off because we're running out of time. Yeah. We have 3 minutes and three calls.
What you did tell our call screener is I think it's important to criticize both sides equally in this situation. And I think that's a very fair statement. I think people are allowed to criticize the government. That is one of our First Amendment rights, is that you can criticize the policies of the government. I'm not quite sure which violating congressional laws you're specifically referring to. Many of the things that have been put on hold with these nationwide injunctions are violations of the Administrative Procedures Act. They're not saying that it's against the law. It's just maybe done too quickly, things like that. But all that to say is that, one, Randolph, I agree with many of your convictions about the world. I mean, we are a fallen world, and that without faith, I think we are all hopeless. Yeah. But I also don't think that we need to look to our politicians as our religious and our pastors, our religious leaders, and we should maintain our focus on God.
We got to get to Mary in Maryland. Mary, I'm sorry. I did not see you were an ACLJ champion. I really apologize. You usually get bumped to the front of the line.
You violated the law, Logan.
I feel horrible about that, Mary. Go ahead.
You're forgiven.
Thank you.
They already spoke about was setting a bad example, so I'll skip to the last of this. I just feel that this woman, I can't call her a lady because you can't trust her, but she needs to be treated like anyone else that would be treated if they were doing that type of action. And I do think that she should even maybe have a heavier penalty than others because she is setting an example, a bad one for our children and for adults as well.
Well, Mary, I appreciate you calling. I appreciate your continued support of the ACLJ as a champion. I will say that they certainly have not gone light on Republicans, whether that be President Trump or otherwise. So, if you're going to play that game, I guess two can play at that game. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's how it's going to go in New Jersey, but again, she's trying to make a name for herself. Hey, Kara, I'm sorry we didn't get to you today. You haven't been on hold the least, though, so I don't feel as bad, but I feel a little bad. Call us tomorrow. We'll try to get you. Thank you for supporting the work of the ACLJ. I encourage you to do that. We've had some big wins as well. We didn't even get to all of them. We'll talk about more of those tomorrow. But I encourage you, if you heard about that student, a 12-year-old student, special needs student, and it tugged on your heartstrings because you know what that feels like, to have your Bible and Bible verses ripped from your hands and lied to and manipulated by your school system? Are you feel for them? Give us a call. Or not give us a call. Give us some support. Like I said, if it comes in during the show, I know that is what you're supporting. Go to ACLJ.org. Do it today, Will. That one caller reminded me of my favorite caller ever who once told me, you know, I don't know if it's the end of the world, but stranger things have happened. Talk to you tomorrow.